show. You bring up what you want, toll free at 800-259-9231. That's the packet8.net toll free line for you. And it's Ian here with you.
And Wayne.
And Mark. You can join us online. FreeTalkLive.com would be the place to go. All the features there, we give them away. Unlike those other radio talk show hosts who want to charge you for accessing their websites, we do it for free. FreeTalkLive.com. So, lots to talk about, as always, tonight, including yet another stunning example of police brutality, this time coming out of Los Angeles at yesterday's immigration protest. That's on the way.
Oh, God.
But since Wayne is here, and Wayne is sort of a man that knows a thing or two about money, we were actually talking last night. I considered holding this to your night, Wayne, but, you know, I figured you already knew all about it, so we did it last night. It was a story about the Dow Jones Industrial Average being a record high of 13,000, and in fact, that's actually just an indicator of how bad inflation has really just ravaged the U.S. economy.
Comparing
the 1929 Dow high to the 2007 Dow high, it actually buys the same amount of gold.
Right, and by inflation, what we mean is the printing of more money. Not
correct.
Devaluing, you know, it causes devaluation in money, but it's really what inflation is printing more money.
So continuing on the money path, there's a story that you have apparently about Panama.
That's right. From Mises.org, there's a story from the 26th of April entitled, Panama Has No Central Bank. And it goes something like this.
How can a country live without a central bank?
That's right. That's the whole thing. When you propose that to people, they say, well, you have to have a central bank. What will they do? There'll be a depression. There'll be runs on banks.
We'll all die. It'll be like the 1929 all over again.
We're doomed.
But in fact, 1929, the big fall was really caused by
the central bank.
Right.
And that's right.
The central manipulation of money supply.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, once we had the Federal Reserve Act of 1913.
Right, they weren't that good at it at that point. They've gotten better at it to keep our big depressions and big spikes down, but now it's inevitable that it's going to become worthless.
And when you look back at on the Roaring Twenties, they called it, that's the time the Fed, the way that they inflated was through the stock market, because we were still on a domestic gold standard. So the way they inflated was that they propped up the stock market by offering easy credit on stocks. So people were buying these stocks in margin, but they'd only have to put down 10% for the stock, and they drove the stock market wild, and by 29 it crashed. It's just like it's just another bubble like we've had the last few years with real estate and the stock market in the 90s.
So it was a credit bubble.
Yes, it was a credit bubble, but they were able to blow it up in the stock market because they couldn't blow it up monetarily yet because we were still on a gold standard.
Gotcha.
So
what's going on in Panama?
So anyway, in this post Bretton Woods world of monetary order.
I'll let you read that sentence again. I've got a question.
Okay.
So we were on the gold standard in 1929. How so? I thought we were taken off the gold standard with the Federal Reserve Act of 1913.
Not necessarily. No, we still used gold coins and silver coins up until 1933.
Okay.
And that's when FDR confiscated people's
gold.
Outlawed gold and went to strictly paper domestically. Mm-hmm. But we stayed on the gold standard internationally. So if we had a trade deficit with another country, we had to ship them gold. We had to settle that somehow, whether it was goods or services or gold.
Right.
And in 1971, because of the Vietnam War and the guns and butter policies of LBJ, President Johnson, Nixon, they kind of freaked out because all of a sudden France wanted gold.
Yeah.
And so that's when they took us off. That's the international gold standard was 71. And it was funny because after 71, you saw little things happening. Like we had those oil crises because all of a sudden our currency was just paper.
Right.
And a lot of that had to do with money more than people realize.
We went off the domestic gold standard in 33 and then off the international gold standard in 71?
Yes.
Okay.
That's right.
I thought the years were a little different, but okay.
Yeah.
And it's all been downhill the entire time.
Yeah, the years between 1913 and 1933, there was some incrementalism going on there where we were still on a domestic gold standard, but there was a lot of funny business happening in the background, which eventually culminated into the 1933 gold confiscation and strictly paper. And it's funny because gold was at $20 an ounce before the confiscation. And after they did that, it went to $35 an ounce.
It's a heck of a jump.
Yeah, they almost doubled the money supply in a short period of time.
Hmm.
So back to Panama.
So yeah, back to Panama anyway. So for a real-world example of how a system of market-chosen monetary policy would work in the absence of a central bank, one need not look at the past. The example persists in present-day Central America in the Republic of Panama, a country that has lived without a central bank since its independence, with a very successful and stable macroeconomic environment.
There's a lot of U.S. involvement in Panama, as I understand it.
Well, they're letting,
is there not?
Well, there is, because they use a dollar there. However, they can't print dollars.
I see.
So what they have to do is they have to buy or obtain their dollars by producing or exporting real goods or services. They can't create the money out of thin air.
Every other country has the ability to do with their central bank.
That's right.
Got it.
And in this way, at least, the system is similar to our old gold standard that we just discussed. Annual inflation in the past 20 years has averaged 1%, and there have been years with price deflation as well, 1986, 1989, and 2003. Panamanian inflation is usually between 1 and 3 points lower than U.S. inflation, and it's caused mostly by the Federal Reserve's effect on world prices, because they're just inflating all over the world random
dollars. Because the Federal Reserve is printing a bunch of dollars, I mean, some estimate 8 to 10% inflation in America.
That's right.
That's having an inflative effect on prices all around the world.
All around the world, yes.
Got it.
And so it affects them a bit internationally.
But not as bad as us.
And if they were on a gold and silver standard in Panama, they would have even less than they have now.
I'm sure.
But they're still limited to the number of dollars that they can circulate without producing something to create more. So that's good.
And the reason that inflation's bad for the average individual, we didn't explain this yet, the reason that the inflation's bad for the average individual is if you put your money in, say, your mattress, if I put $10,000 in a mattress in 1980, I wouldn't have $10,000 worth of 1980 buying power now. I would have something like $5,000, maybe.
Maybe less.
Right.
Maybe less.
And take a millionaire, somebody who's worth $1 million in 1970. He'd have to have about $10 million now to have the same buying power as he did then.
Mm-hmm. So your money just loses value when the government inflates the money supply. And so we're pointing out that Panamanians have the benefit of a very limited amount of inflation as a result of not having the central bank.
That's right.
And if they took themselves off of the dollar and actually went to value-backed currency, then it would essentially nullify the inflation.
Mm-hmm. That's right. It would create a more stable macroeconomic environment. And Panama is the only country in Latin America that has not experienced a financial collapse or a currency crisis since its independence early in the 1900s. And so their prices have stayed really stable, and that makes for a more stable environment to do business and to raise a family and educate people and so on.
Got it.
Okay, so, and by the way, in many of these historical countries that had a fiat currency, there's a lot of societal decay that goes along with the decay in the currency as well.
How so?
Well, people get more desperate because
they have to spend their money for it to be of value today. It won't be tomorrow what it is today. So people are on a spending pattern rather than a saving pattern.
That's right. And so they're not investing or saving; they're spending to get rid of the money before it loses value.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that makes sense. I mean, if I've got money in a bank account, obviously it'd be nice to have it for a rainy day. But on the other hand, if I need to do repairs on my house or something like that, better to do them now rather than later, and that'd be, you know, that way I can just get the money out of the account and put it into something at least tangible.
And it also encourages excess borrowing, because if you borrow money today and you're paying 5% interest and the real inflation rate is 10 or 12%, then you're making out.
Hmm. Got it.
Just like if you put your money in a bank account on a CD, 5% on a year CD, you're losing.
Yeah, that's what we were talking about last night, was Harry Brown's fail-safe investing, his portfolio, this sort of balanced different investments, sort of balancing each other out, making it about 9 to 10% a year. If it's true that inflation is 8 to 10% a year, then that's just barely keeping you afloat.
That's
right. You'd have to speculate and get lucky in order to really, really knock it out of the park as far as investing is concerned.
That's right. And let's face it, inflation is a backdoor tax. See, they don't have the guts.
It's the one you can't get away from.
Yeah, you can't get away from it. They don't have the guts to raise taxes to balance the budget. So instead, they cut taxes, but then they increase spending. So the way you make it up is you've got to inflate. You've got to print more money because they can. And everybody gets robbed.
One of the reasons they continue to print money is because the government continues to get bigger. And one of the areas that they get bigger in is the U.S. military. It's probably the biggest, user of taxpayer dollars amongst the federal government. And there's a story from the U.S. Army today that has to do with censorship. And anybody that's a fan of freedom of speech is going to find this pretty disgusting. 800-259-9231. This is Free Talk Live.
DVD, books, music, instruments, periodicals, computers, software, electronics, photo, cell phone, office product, home and garden, bed and bath, furniture, kitchen, pet supply, automotive, hardware, apparel, shoes, jewelry, grocery, healthcare, sports and outdoors, toys, games, used and more. It's a department store at your fingertips. Amazon.freetalklive.com. Get all your shopping done, a great deal, delivery to your door, and a percentage of your purchase will go to Free Talk Live when you enter Amazon through Amazon.freetalklive.com.
Do you feel like you should be free to live your life however you want, so long as your actions don't harm anyone else? There's good news. You are not alone. Thousands of people like you are going to move to New Hampshire so we can reclaim our lost liberties. Be part of the Second American Revolution. Join the Free State Project. You can learn more at freestateproject.org or call toll-free 1-888-532-4604. That's 1-888-532-4604 or visit freestateproject.org.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson, here for the 2007 Red Book. The commodity markets like gold, silver, copper, aluminum, and oil have exploded over the last year. This is a glaring testimonial of how quickly the U.S. dollar can be devalued. Many have turned to precious metals to provide a safe haven while increasing the potential profits. Though accumulating precious metals has been a proven method for the storage of wealth, it is important that you understand the market you are getting into. Midas Resources is offering the Red Book and Silver Dollar for only $27.95. The Red Book is the number one best-selling guide to gold and silver coins. Call for your copy today. It's 800-686-2237. If you've already accumulated or plan to get into the precious metals market, you simply must have the Red Book in your library. Call 800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Do you owe back taxes to the IRS or to the state? You are not alone. Nationwide Tax Relief is here, and we can get you a fresh start. I'm Richard Boggs, founder and CEO of one of the largest tax resolution firms in the country. If you're suffering from wage garnishments, bank levies, an audit, or unfiled tax returns, my staff of expert tax attorneys will step in, step up, and settle your tax debt. Do not fall for the scams that promise everyone some fast, pennies on the dollar compromise. If you owe more than $20,000 in any IRS or state taxes, you've got a serious tax problem. So get serious. Call Nationwide Tax Relief. We're honest and we'll treat you like family. Call us for your free confidential consultation. Again, you're not alone. You've got Nationwide.
Call Nationwide Tax Relief today at 1-800-958-2677. That's 1-800-958-2677.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer, and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning, and the poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now, it's cancer's turn to die with LaceMed Inc.'s patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, call 702-953-0267 or visit www.lasemedinc.com. Call 702-953-0267.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231 and log on at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live, your show. You take control of the airwaves toll-free. 800-259-9231. That is the Packet8.net toll-free line. And it's Ian here with you.
And Wayne.
And Mark. You can join us on our website, freetalklive.com. Oh, shame on me, Mark. You got to catch me when I mess up with that phone sponsor.
Oh, I'm sorry.
SACL CAI toll-free line.
Why am I apologizing? It's your job.
Well, you should. You're the one that has to audit the commercials. So
true.
Pay attention to me. All right, so 800-259-9231. Join us on our website, freetalklive.com. Bulletin board systems there. Over 225,000 posts, over 1,400 people interacting, and it's all for free. bbs.freetalklive.com. Ex-Narcotics.com. Wouldn't it be great to have an ex-narcotics officer be your personal coach to keep you getting from getting busted with marijuana? Go to NeverGetBusted.com to view clips of the recently released DVD that's gained world attention. NeverGetBusted.com. As we go to the phones a little bit here in a moment about Army censorship, but first to Washington State, and it is Andrew on the amplifier line. Hello there.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, you're on Free Talk Live. What's on your mind?
Well, I'd like to talk about the online currency e-gold and the latest charges that have been filed by a grand jury against them.
Okay. I actually saw something about this over, I think it was over the weekend or a couple days ago. And e-gold, first of all, what is it? Because I don't know if most people know.
Okay. Well, e-gold is essentially a online currency. It's alternative to the traditional Federal Reserve banking system. And it's based on gold and other precious metals, so it maintains its buying power.
So you can have a bank account, essentially, in you can choose gold or silver rather than having it in U.S. dollars?
Exactly, and it's a little bit more private than the typical banking system.
It is, they have their system is private?
I mean, yes, it is. It's, I mean, they don't release their information to the federal authorities.
The feds don't like that crap.
Apparently, they don't like that, and now they're being—I guess they're being accused of assisting child pornographers. They're being accused of assisting terrorists, assisting—you know—all the usual suspects. Whenever the feds want to paint someone with a negative brush. And from what I saw, there was a press release that e-gold came out with. It was just so lengthy I couldn't use it on the air. But essentially it pointed out that e-gold was apparently one of the founding members of some anti-child porn online group. So, I mean, the idea that they're assisting child pornographers is apparently pretty absurd.
Well, don't Federal Reserve notes do the same thing?
Assist child pornographers?
Yeah, they use them in their commerce.
Hmm. Well, I it's not the gold as much as the privacy that they're going out after. And one could say that if you're assisting terrorists and you're assisting child pornographers, shouldn't we be going after all the banks in Liechtenstein and the Cayman Islands? Shouldn't we be going after all the foreign banks?
Yeah, but you can't do that. They're
why not?
In other countries.
Hold on, wait. We're tromping all over the globe looking for terrorists, Ian. The problem is that these banks have been around a long time and they have clout.
Yeah, these guys have only been around 10 years.
Right, that's the issue. These are just normal folks with normal amounts of money and normal amounts of protection.
Trying to compete in the marketplace.
Yeah, I mean these banks in Liechtenstein are terrorists by this definition.
What sort of charges are the the CEOs or the guys in charge? What are they facing?
Well, they are facing a seizure of a lot of the e-gold property. So I guess that would include the metals that people have entrusted to them.
So they can seize that's not e-gold's property, though. That's mine, if I have an account.
Well, I mean, yeah, technically it's yours, but according to the injunction, they treat, legally it's treated as the assets of the company in all likelihood.
It
depends on how the case would play out.
I've heard two different things on this. I've heard that their assets have been frozen, and I've heard that that's not the case, that people that do have accounts with e-gold can go and withdraw their funds.
Yeah, well, what they've done is if you have gold in there, from what I've been figured out, you can still transfer within the system and get rid of and, take it out of and convert it into fiat money of whatever type. But what they have done is sort of like what they did with, last year with the Treasury attack of the Liberty Dollar, was they essentially scared people, and they sort of scared the intermediary companies that you go to in order to fund your e-gold account.
Now, how do you do that? How do you, tell me about these intermediary companies. I don't know anything about this.
Okay. Well, basically what it is that if you want to, fund your e-gold account, you have to, convert your U.S. dollars, into gold, right?
Okay.
So what you do is if you had a bunch of gold, you could theoretically, send it to the e-gold company and they would store it for you.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't have that, you go through a third-party company where you would pay them by bank wire or you know, a cashier's check from
right.
the bank.
And they buy,
and then they would buy the gold on the market and put it into your account.
I see.
Got it. And so the gold dealers are basically the ones that are spooked at this point.
I can't believe that eGold doesn't do that themselves, but okay.
Yeah, well, I'm sure there's some legal reasons for that.
Okay.
But the thing is that in the federal suit, the Secret Service was claiming that, you know, this is all, you know, not tracked and everything. But, you know, in order to fund your account, at least 99.9% of the time, you have to go through the regular Federal Reserve banking system in order to buy in.
Mm-hmm.
So if they're really looking for, you know, finding child pornography or terrorists or whatever, they would be going to these large banks that, you know, the funding originally came from.
Mm-hmm.
But either way, people are pretty scared to do business with eGold at this point. I don't know. I'm not sure how this is going to pan out, but it's kind of a spooky situation where they've attacked the Liberty Dollar, they've attacked eGold. I mean, who's next? And why now? Why are they all of a sudden getting so uppity and going after these sort of alternative payment methods?
Well, there are a couple of explanations, but I mean, the most general one would be, you know, the economy is not doing too incredibly well over the last several years, and people are trying to find ways to, you know, convert to another system. And the only way to keep the, you know, crappy banking system that we're all used to is by forcing people to stay in that system.
That's right. That's right.
They don't want competition.
And we were talking earlier about Panama, and what's really interesting is in the Panamanian Constitution from 1903, there is an article that states that there will be no forced fiat paper currency in the republic. Thus, any individual can reject any note that he may deem untrustworthy.
So there's no legal tender then. So
that's great.
Yeah, that's in Panama. So because we were just discussing,
it's not
Panama.
That way here. Because if you look
that's
at
right.
If you look at your fiat dollars, you look at your Federal Reserve notes, the dollars in your wallet, they say legal tender for all debts, public or private, which means that the government is forcing you at gunpoint to take those dollars if someone offers them to you for payment of whatever service
right.
or
chances
debt.
Chances are not good that would ever occur in the real world, but.
Yeah.
That is the case.
The other thing is, if you have a hunk of silver and you've got no cash and you need to buy food, you've got to convert that silver to FRNs before you can buy food.
You don't have to. You could arrange some kind of trade with whatever. I would assume you would have to go to an independent grocery store to do such.
Right.
Well,
until the FRN bottoms out. I mean, at that point, then the dealers will probably take whatever they can get.
Yeah, but I think this whole thing with eGold is just part of a larger trend that people are starting to look at other avenues for their buying power to protect it.
And the government wants to shut that down. Andrew, I'm not on the eGold email list, so do us a favor. Keep us up to date on this case as it continues.
Definitely.
And thank you for the call. 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line, and you can take control of the airwaves. Bring up whatever's on your mind. This is Free Talk Live.
I love the new sandal styles, but before I discovered Nonex Nail Gel, I was too embarrassed about my toenails to wear them.
If your nails look dark or discolored, now there's a solution besides hiding them. It's a patented nail gel called Nonex. All-natural Nonex clears out the source of the problem, the dark or yellow material that builds up under nails called keratin debris.
Nonex Nail Gel is absolutely amazing. My toenails now look clear, and I'm not embarrassed to wear sandals anymore.
Nonex Nail Gel removes yellowing keratin debris, is podiatrist recommended, and has been clinically shown to improve nail clarity. It's also money-back guaranteed. You'll find Nonex Gel, spelled N-O-N-Y-X, in the foot care section at Rite Aid, Walgreens, Long's, Brooks, Duane Reade, and independent pharmacies nationwide, or online at drugstore.com. Nonex Nail Gel, for clearer nails and feet that look great in sandals.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. The J. Michael Stevens Group is shipping a lot of storable food. It's smart that you're getting going at your food supplies. 1 week after the report came out that the world had eaten more food than it produced last year, the country turned into a deep freeze, wiping out a huge part of the new crop. An example? In 24 hours, clementine oranges doubled in price. If you intend to start or finish your supply, call immediately. When you call, tell them how many adults and how many years of food you need. When there are shortages, missing items will be substituted, maintaining the quantity of food necessary. Money is not the problem. Availability is. Be careful. When food supplies get short, with no future, many retailers ship real trash to supply you.
For safe food you can trust, call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
Government is best, which governs least.
Wake up and smell the fascism.
Being in government means never having to say you're sorry.
What part of unconstitutional do you not understand, George?
In today's world full of tyranny and injustice, sometimes it seems the only thing we still have is our freedom of speech. Exercise your freedom of speech by purchasing your choice of hundreds of different Liberty stickers, from humorous to serious, at LibertyStickers.com. LibertyStickers.com can even customize your own bumper stickers. It's time to stand up for what you believe. Invest in your freedom. Get your stickers at LibertyStickers.com for your family, friends, and community. Go to LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. That's 877-873-9626. And express your freedom of speech today. Call 877-873-9626. That's 877-873-9626.
Have you ever thought about what's in your shampoo, soap, or detergent? How about fluorides, dyes, ethanol, sulfates, sodium, formaldehydes, and more? Even fragrance can indicate the presence of some 4,000 separate ingredients, most of which are synthetic. Hi, this is Alex Jones. I was shocked when I discovered I could be inhaling these additives that can lead to coughing, wheezing, and shortness of breath, headaches, nausea, irritation of the skin, and mucous membranes. Now compare Calben Pure Soap. All natural, earth-friendly, no harsh chemicals, no animal testing. They're safe, and you save 85% of the money you're spending on cleaning products now. Start saving over $1,000 a year for your family of four. Keep it natural. Call Calben Pure Soap for a free catalog at 1-800-340-7091 or log on to 5starsoap.com. Try Calben Pure Soaps, and I'll bet you'll never use any other cleaning products again. Call 1-800-340-7091 for all your cleaning needs.
This is the GCN Radio Network, home to hard-hitting talk radio.
This is Free Talk Live, your show. You bring us what you want toll-free, 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. And it's Ian here with you.
And Wayne.
And Mark. You can join us online, freetalklive.com, where all the features are totally free. Shrine of female listeners included, the dozens and dozens of ladies who've sent us their validated photo to prove they listen to the show. See what I mean? By going to shrine.freetalklive.com. That is shrine.freetalklive.com. The U.S. Army censoring soldier blogs. Now, there was a story, I think it was probably about a year ago, that was pretty chilling. It was pretty scary in regards to another attack on the freedom of speech by the on behalf of the military. They had one of their troops who, he had his own blog, and he's in Iraq, and he'd been known as, I guess, on the internet, known as one of the more active troop bloggers, mm-hmm. one of the more active U.S. military bloggers. And I guess it was a pretty popular blog because he was, I guess, fairly honest about what was going on and his opinions and his feelings about the war and the things that were happening over there. Well, I guess the brass got wind of it, or they'd gotten wind of it and decided finally to do something about it, because all of a sudden on this guy's blog there appeared a very strangely written retraction. Mm. All of a sudden the guy gets on the blog and essentially just takes back everything that he'd said.
Did he put any wink-winks in there or anything?
You know, basically what it turned out to be was that they essentially threatened this young man,
mm-hmm.
and they told him, you're going to go on your blog and post this, put your name on it, or else. You know, or else, whatever. I don't know what they were going to threaten him
with. The brig.
The brig, or some sort of charges. Who knows? He was scared. I mean, that's obviously the reason why he completely changed his tune and went from being honest with his position to essentially just reposting something that the government told him to post.
Well, once you sign up for the Army or the Navy or whatever, they own you.
They own
you. 4 years.
Yeah, that's true.
And it doesn't matter.
Actually, it's 8 years.
Because
there's 4 years, and then there's four more, as I understand it, in the individual ready reserve, where you're not really in the Army, but if they want you back, they just take you back.
Yeah, but right? You get free college, man.
Yeah, no thanks.
And I hear it's not always that easy to cash in on the free college part, too.
Right, that's a teaser. They tease you with that.
I don't know anything about it, but...
That's what we've heard from people who've been in the military. Like, this is kind of a, it's sort of a scam. They're not really very honest and upfront about how the whole college thing works. But anyway, regardless of that, now things have gotten worse in regards to military bloggers. According to Wired magazine, the U.S. Army has ordered soldiers to stop posting to blogs or sending personal email messages without first clearing the content with a superior officer. Wired News learned the directive issued April
9th. You can't send personal email messages?
You can clear it with an officer.
If you hold on. If I'm in the military, I can't send a personal message to my mom.
You can ask permission first.
I assume that they probably have a list of people that you're allowed to send things to that they just say, everybody always has permission to send an email to your mom, to your girlfriend, to your wife.
I don't know, man.
Oh, please, sir, can I send a message to my mother? But what about your friend, you know?
Yeah.
Oh,
I don't
my.
Know. Anyway, I'm just reading the news here.
So tell us about this friend.
The directive issued April 19th is the sharpest restriction on troops' online activity since the start of the Iraq War, and it could mean the end of military blogs, say observers. Military officials have been wrestling for years with how to handle troops who publish blogs. Officers have weighed the need for wartime discretion against the opportunities for the public to personally connect with some of the most effective advocates for the operations in Afghanistan and Iraq, the troops themselves. Secret keepers have generally won the argument, and the once-permissive atmosphere has slowly grown more tightly regulated. Soldier bloggers have dropped offline as a result. And then they actually have a copy of the rules in PDF format, so if you want to go and read them yourself. They require a commander be consulted before every blog update. Quote, "This is the final nail in the coffin for combat blogging," said retired paratrooper Matthew Burden, editor of the Blog of War anthology. He said, "No more military bloggers writing about their experiences in the combat zone. This is the best PR the military has. It's the most honest voice out of the war zone, and it's being silenced."
Now, the analog version of this is, if you want to write in your diary, soldier, Every time you put a page in, you have to ask permission for your command from your commanding officer.
Well, the difference is, if you're writing in a diary, it's not instantly published for the world to see.
It's not instantly published, but you could publish it later, if you so chose. I mean, it's not. You're right. There are some differences. The internet has made the world much more communicative, but so.
Army Regulation 530-1, Operation Security, restricts more than just blogs, however. Previous editions of the rules asked Army personnel to, quote, consult with their immediate supervisor before posting a document that might contain sensitive and or critical information in a public forum. The new version, in contrast, requires an OPSEC, security, review prior to publishing. Anything from weblog postings to even comments on internet message boards, from resumes to letters home. Failure to do so, the document adds, could result in a court-martial or administrative, disciplinary, contractual, or criminal action. They're serious about this. Despite the absolutist language, the guidelines author says there's some leeway in the enforcement of the rules. He says, quote, "It's not practical to check all communication, especially private communication," he noted in an email. "Some units may require that soldiers register their blog with the unit for identification purposes, with occasional spot checks after an initial review. Other units may require a review before every posting." But with the regulations drawn so tightly, many commanders will feel like they have no choice but to forbid their soldiers from blogging or even using email, said one of the soldiers who won a Bronze Star for a service in Iraq. Quote, "If I'm a commander and I think that any slip-up gets me screwed, I'm making it easy. No blogs."
Yeah.
Because, you know, if you take the blame as a commander for the actions of your underlings, then why even take the risk of allowing them to go online and do those things?
Sure.
So, he says, apparently...
Let them write emails to their moms?
He says, "I think this means the end of my blogging. Active duty troops aren't the only ones affected by the new guidelines. Civilians working for the military, army contractors, even soldiers' families are all subject to the directive as well."
That's ridiculous.
You got a wife at home waiting for you? She can't talk about you on the internet. She can't talk about military activities on the internet.
Good boy.
But while the regulations may apply to a broad swath of people, not everybody affected can actually read them. In a Kafkaesque turn, the guidelines are kept on the military's restricted Army Knowledge Online intranet. Many Army contractors and many family members don't even have access to the site. Even those able to get in are finding their access is blocked to that particular file. Now, how could it be that if you're in a soldier's family, how could you be bound by these regulations?
I guess it's sort of a hostage situation would probably be the easiest way to explain it.
Because you never signed an agreement.
No.
That's right.
Yeah, what if I started dating some girl that was a military member?
Mm-hmm.
For one, my wife wouldn't like that. But if suppose I didn't have a wife.
Right.
Suppose I started dating some girl who was a military person, and she started talking to me about this kind of stuff, and I decided to write about it in my blog. I guess that what they could do is they said, you're revealing classified information to a civilian.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be punished. So, therefore, I can't write because my girlfriend
would they punish you or would they punish the girlfriend? You're saying they punish the girlfriend.
The girlfriend would be punished
right.
because she revealed whatever sort of information that they deemed classified or whatever, and now she's in trouble.
Yeah, during the 90s, my sister was engaged to a guy who worked at an aircraft company where they did the helicopters for the presidential fleet. And his security clearance was going to be redone real soon. My family was under surveillance for over a year, we found out later.
Oh, wow. That's a little spooky.
Yeah.
So apparently, again, family members, they can't blog. Even though it's supposedly rewritten to include rules for contractors, I'm not allowed to download it, said an Iraq War veteran now working as a contractor to the Armed Services Blood Program. The U.S. military, all militaries, have long been concerned about their personnel inadvertently letting sensitive information out. Troops' mail was read and censored throughout World War II. Back home, government posters warned citizens that careless talk kills. Military blogs, or miliblogs, as they're known in service member circles, only make the potential for mischief worse. On a website, anyone, including foreign intelligence agents, can stop by and look for information. Quote, all that stuff we used to get around a bar and say to each other, well, now, because we're publishing it in open forums, now it's intel, said a retired Army officer and a mill blogger. 800-259-9231, a little bit more about this. Your comments, if you are in the military, can you even call the show and talk about this? We'd love to hear from you if you can. 800-259-9231. No need to identify yourself.
That's right. We don't want to get you in trouble now.
Right. Or if you're former military, inactive, ready reserves, you want to chime in on this, want to hear from you. 800-259-9231. This is Free Talk Live.
There are many paths you can take in the pursuit of liberty. The fastest avenue to real political change is being paved by the Republican Liberty Caucus. Join Representatives Ron Paul, Jeff Flake, and dozens of state legislators in advancing the ideals of individual rights, limited government, and private enterprise within the GOP. The Republican Liberty Caucus, online at rlc.org. That's rlc.org. Your path to liberty.
Would you like to get involved with pro-liberty causes, but just can't find the time? Let us spread the word about freedom for you. Consider becoming a Free Talk Live amplifier now for just $3 a month, and you'll help Free Talk Live get on more radio stations and more MP3 players. That means more new people coming across the message of freedom every day. Other pro-liberty organizations seem to gobble up contributions and make very little progress. AMP actually works. For all the details, visit amp.freetalklive.com. That's amp.freetalklive.com.
It's a fact. You can legally eliminate credit card debt, which has been fraudulently created by the banks. Since its creation in 1913, the Federal Reserve has not been held responsible for its own debt. So why should you, the hardworking American, be harassed for yours? There's a double standard when it comes to being responsible for debt, and unlike the Federal Reserve, the people of this country can't print more money when needed. Day of Jubilee has created a successful program designed for people that want to stop harassing calls and threatening letters from bill collectors. This is not a debt consolidation company. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their credit card debt. Instead of living each day in fear, it's time to turn your life around. Call Day of Jubilee, open 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Central Standard Time at 920-293-8024. That's 920-293-8024, and ask for Robert. Don't wait any longer to get your life back in order.
We've all seen the tornado device on TV and wondered if it really worked. I was also skeptical at first until we tested 6 tornado units, and in every case, we got more miles per gallon and felt more power. Gasoline's expensive, so when we find something that saves us money, it just makes sense to get it. Call 800-500-8880 and order your Tornado unit today. Or visit tornadoair.com.
Oil is oil.
Don't kid yourself. Technology makes better oils possible, like Royal Purple. Royal Purple reduces friction and increases film strength. Go to royalpurple.com and you'll find independent test results from North Carolina and Oklahoma State. Not hype, just facts. What's in it for you? Superior protection, fewer oil changes, more horsepower, torque, and better gas mileage. Find Royal Purple at Napa, O'Reilly's, your local high-performance center, and royalpurple.com today.
According to the American Diabetes Association, more than 18 million people in the U.S. have diabetes. Most people with diabetes have risk factors such as obesity, high blood pressure, and cholesterol, which increase their risk for heart disease. For example, more than 65% of people with diabetes die from heart disease or stroke. Finding out you or your loved ones have diabetes can be scary. This is why, as your trusted online partner in health, we are committed to bringing you products that help you make informed decisions about your health. At researchherbs.com, you can learn more about GlucoCare, a highly effective and safe natural herbal supplement formulated specifically to help maintain optimal blood sugar levels. As with all products featured on researchherbs.com, GlucoCare is the result of several years of rigorous development and is backed by numerous clinical trials and experimental studies. Visit us online at researchherbs.com or call 1-800-845-3841 to learn more. That's 1-800-845-3841.
This is Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231. And get interactive at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live. You bring up what you want. Toll-free 800-259-9231. The SACL CAI toll-free line in here with you.
Ed Wade.
And Mark. 800-259-9231. Join us online, freetalklive.com. All the features there completely free, though we do ask that you voluntarily support the show by going and voting for us. It is that time yet again. A new month means we need a new vote from you over at vote.freetalklive.com. Takes you less than a minute. All you need is your email address, and it makes a big difference for us because your votes help propel us to the top of the podcast charts at PodcastAlley.com. Last month, we finished at number 2, and that's pretty darn good considering we didn't really push it too hard during the month. I think maybe we mentioned it a handful of times, maybe 4 or 5 times throughout the month, so that's good. Instead of pushing it every single day, we did just about as good as we did the month before. So head over to vote. freetalklive.com. It'll only take you a moment. It makes a big difference for us. We're talking about the U.S. military's new guidelines or rules or threats or whatever you want to call them that essentially are going to be the death toll for military blogging. Right now, until recently at least, I guess I think April 19th was when these regulations went into effect. Until recently, military members over in Iraq and Afghanistan had relatively unfettered access to the internet and were able to email their friends and family members and post to online blogs about their experiences in Iraq and Afghanistan and wherever else they might be. And now the military's had about enough of that. So they are cracking down and they're saying no more. In fact, if you've got a military blog, you must clear any blog posts with a commanding officer before you can actually post that blog post. And many commanding officers are pretty much telling themselves that it's not even worth going through the hassle of overseeing these things, and they'll just ban their troops from posting anything. So it's kind of a bit of a chill on freedom of speech. Of course, once again, you sign up for the military, you pretty much should understand that your freedom's about to go out the door. And so obviously I want to hear from military people on this, how they feel about it. Because clearly, 20, 30 years ago, this wasn't even an option for military people. Though, as Wired magazine is pointing out, even during World War II, they were intercepting troops' mail and reading it all and then censoring things. So this is sort of a time-tested process.
Were they blacking out a letter to the girlfriend or something?
That must have been.
They weren't reading it for nothing.
Right.
So they didn't just read it for kicks. They had to have either censored it or thrown it away.
Wired,
I imagine they threw a lot of them away. Can you imagine government bureaucrats going through mail?
Wired has some more information on this story, but let's go to the phones and talk to Puke in New Hampshire on the Amplifier line. Hey, Puke.
Good evening, all.
Hey, Puke.
Good evening.
I'll just comment on that World War II. From what I understand, is they would read the letters and just black out any sensitive information, such as times, troop movements, and locations. And then they'd usually transcribe it onto, like, microfiche or whatever, so it would be easier to mail back home.
I see.
And the family members would get, like, a telegram. But anyway, as far as I know, that's how that worked. I'll just talk about my experience. 2006, I was there for the entire year in Iraq. And the way that we had Internet access was a bunch of us, about 20 of us guys, got together and bought what was essentially a satellite dish from some guys that were there before us. And, you know, we would just pass it along. And anyway, we hooked up to this thing, and there was really absolutely no way that our commanders could read, like, what was going through our Internet servers and stuff.
Right.
So that was essentially impossible for them to monitor. So my guess is that they're probably getting rid of that. They're probably going to say that you're only allowed to go to the Internet cafes that they probably have on post,
mm-hmm.
which I'm sure they monitor that, and or you can only use what is called the Army Knowledge Online Internet, which is kind of like a little Army website and email thing that is for soldiers only.
So it's like an intranet. It's not actually on the web. It's sort of a private web, basically.
Yeah, that's essentially what it is.
So now, I'm curious, when you had the satellite dish, Puke, what did you do? Just sign up for, like, the direct TV internet? How did you get the service if you weren't getting it through the military?
Well, I believe it wasn't actually satellite. It was just like a large parabolic dish that was receiving like radio waves from somewhere off in Baghdad.
Huh.
And they just, you know, all the guys and on my base, you know, you see these little satellite dishes everywhere. And it was just essentially us and, like, you know, there was one guy that would control it. And if he was kind of a, you know, loyalist guy or whatever, then he might shut it off at certain times or, you know, do this and that. But the guy that I was on with and the rest of us, like, there's about 20 of us, you know, we essentially had free reign. At one point, the commanders told us that, you know, we had to tell them if we had any MySpace accounts or any blogs, and they were essentially going to, I guess, you know, monitor them, which I doubt they would because they're lazy and don't have the time.
Sure. Well, and they'd have to find them as well, right? I mean, if they weren't already aware of them, then they'd have to go through some sort of process to discover their existence.
Yeah, and so, you know, when they asked me, I just said no. And, you know, because my MySpace account that I had was just, it was, you know, I didn't have any information leading it back to who I was. Mm-hmm. I didn't have any pictures of myself. I didn't lead any information. So, I mean, it wasn't hard to get around.
But are you suggesting that maybe okay? So you've got the Army intranet, which is a private web. You've got
right.
where there's some email access. You've got which
right.
obviously can be easily monitored by them. You've got internet cafes that they have set up on certain bases over there that people could get in and use and again have their activities monitored. But if they're using one of these little parabolic dishes like you and your pals did, then there's no way for them to monitor that information. So are you suggesting that what they might do is send commanding officers around and, you know, confiscate these dishes, essentially restrict you only to the military-approved Internet accesses?
That's correct. Well, they would threaten us with that all the time while I was over there. They would say, you know, every now and then it would just come up for some reason that, you know, they were going to take away our Internet access.
Because that kind of mentality is all about uniformness, and for whatever reason that, you know, you having a satellite dish isn't uniform enough. That's just kind of the mentality that goes with it.
Well, it's also out of their control.
Some of the commanders thought it looked bad having satellite dishes all over the base and stuff. You know, just stupid crap like that.
Yeah.
You know, they really didn't care if we contacted our families and stuff. You know, we would have to go through the methods that they provided, but... This new rule just sounds like they're just making it that much more threatening, as in if you did get caught, you know, they have this rule that will punish you that much more, you know, that much harder than it was back when I was in there.
Right.
Puke, don't you think it also might be a sign that morale might be declining a little bit?
Oh, absolutely. You know, with all the American lack of support for this war that, been going on for 5 years now, I assume that, you know, they're trying to figure out ways to just block the information, essentially censoring what's coming out of Iraq to just the approved sources.
Right, because maybe in the beginning a lot more soldiers would have been more gung-ho about what was going on, whereas now, four or five years later, they're getting tired of it. They want to come home. They've realized that the whole thing was a scam. They're more likely to be dissenting voices amongst the ranks now, and therefore more dissenting blogs, etc.
Yeah, you've got 15-month deployments now, and
I thought it was
all
18.
This stuff that is not. I don't remember, but it's longer deployments, more than a year. A year was long enough for me, and it's just everybody's got to be getting tired of it. It's I went there 3 times, and that was enough for me. And I wish I hadn't gone back the last time. But
I was going to say, plus I think a lot of the soldiers are getting all these crazy ideas in their head from listening to podcasts like Free Talk Live.
Right.
That's what they're going to outlaw next, is any sort of MP3 files being downloaded. They'll just blank it out. Hugh, thanks for the call, man. We appreciate hearing from you. 800-259-9231. That's exactly what I was looking for. Somebody who's been on the inside, somebody who understands what things were like before this new rule was put into place. Just a few more thoughts from Wired Magazine. Passing on classified data, real secrets, is already a serious military crime. The new regulations take an unusually expansive view of what kind of unclassified information a foe might find useful. In an article published by the Official Army News Service, one of their majors described how the Pentagon parking lot had more parked cars than usual on the evening of January 16, 1991, and how pizza parlors noticed a significant increase of pizza to the Pentagon. These observations are indicators, unclassified information available to all, that Operation Desert Storm was about to begin. Stephen Aftergood, one of the head of the Federation of American Scientists on the project of government secrecy, called his example outrageous. He says it's true that from an OPSEC, operational security perspective, almost anything, pizza orders, office lights lit at odd hours, full or empty parking lots, can potentially tip off an observer that something unusual is afoot, but real OPSEC is highly discriminating. It doesn't mean cutting off the flow of information across the board. If on one day in 1991 an unusual number of pizza orders coincided with the start of Desert Storm, it doesn't mean that information about pizza orders should now be restricted. That's not OPSEC. That's just stupidity. Hour number two is coming up. Military crackdown on the way. Speaking of crackdowns, the L.A. cops cracked down on an immigration protest yesterday.
DVD, books, music, instruments, periodicals, computers, software, electronics, photo, cell phone, office products, home and garden, bed and bath, furniture, kitchen, pet supplies, automotive, hardware, apparel, shoes, jewelry, grocery, healthcare, sports and outdoors, toys, games, used and more. It's a department store at your fingertips. Amazon.freetalklive.com. Get all your shopping done, a great deal, delivery to your door, and a percentage of your purchase will go to Free Talk Live when you enter Amazon through Amazon.freetalklive.com.
Looking for profit? Looking for safety and security? The $10 Olympic commemorative gold coin offers both. This low mintage collector coin with a total series mintage under $600,000 has sold at 4 times its current price. Falling dollar values and inflation make this likely to happen again. Secure your position today. Call Midas Resources at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Summer.